we're back with Brews and Reviews. I'm Jake. We got Joel, newly made father, in the house. He is going to come back to talk about episodes 7 and 8. I got Dylan and Cole with me as well. And we're talking about the last two episodes of The Mandalorian. Now, if anyone listened to me on the last podcast, you could tell I was, let's call it, angry.
For no reason.
And I am happy to admit when I'm wrong, these last two episodes were great. Thank you for listening. I'm sure they switched all what they were doing because they listened to my angry podcast. They're like, we should listen to this guy. What a way to finish a season. I am very happy with what I got in these last two episodes.
Okay, so I will go ahead and address Jake's concerns. So Jake got bent out of shape.
Why are you addressing my concerns? I can address them.
No, I will address them. Jake got bent out of shape about, I believe it was episode 3, where they had the long thing, where they followed the guy on Coruscant, and episode 6, where they had the Lizzo and Jack Black. But overall, this season had way more story, way more Mandalorians, less Monsters of the Week. You can like say like, oh yeah, those half of those episodes are bad. But even in those episodes, like episode 6, where, yeah, I will be the first to admit, I didn't like Lizzo and Jack Black either. But we still found out a lot in that episode where like, oh, she takes on the Mandalorians and now she's going to be leading the Mandalorians. So it's not like, oh, just skip that episode and you won't even know about it. Where to me, I'm still going back to that. There were so many episodes in the first couple seasons you could have skipped. And really, other than two halves of episodes in this season, everything has been one continuous story and I love it. Boom.
Okay. Before you guys jump in, I do have to address Cole. Backhanding me a little bit. He pretty much just whipped his penis out and showed in front of me and said, come get some. So I will address this.
We'll get some.
I, as you guys know, I was okay with the Monster of the Week. I felt like there was an overarching story, but it was cool to see Din Djarin do bounty hunter things. My issue was the Coruscant episode's not even a bounty hunting episode. That was just a long episode. The longest episode of the season. Again, these last two episodes showed me that episode was completely useless. You could have done a flat, like, you could have quick cut over to Coruscant and be like, hey, this person's evil in, like, 15 minutes. And then we'd be like, okay, we know she's evil. And then she can Skype Moff Gideon, and that would have still solved the problem. So that episode's still a problem.
But my point was it was only half the episode, because they were also doing stuff in the other half of the episode.
I would say three-fourths of the episode were dedicated to Coruscant. Yeah, I was going to say. You got a beginning and end. It wasn't, you had a beginning and the end where it had to do with Mandalorian stuff, but mostly it was focused on the Coruscant and this fake love story, and it's bad.
It was bad.
This doesn't change that episode is bad. Northern episode 6, you're like, oh, Jake, he's going back to bounty hunting. The problem is this season was not set up to be that. So when you add that to it, it feels out of whack. The tone's completely changed. Well, it's like, wait a minute, we're doing bounty hunting stuff again and a buddy cop thing? I thought we weren't doing that this season. Now, luckily, they got their shit together, and episodes 7 and 8 are some of the best we've ever gotten of Mandalorian. These episodes were, like, after episode 7, I was like, oh, I cannot wait for next week. I watched it Wednesday night. I was excited, and I was not disappointed. But again, it was just 3 and 6 had a tone problem. I don't think this, just because these last two episodes are great and the season is great to watch overall, I don't think it fixes the tonal problems we had in 3 and 6. I think that's still a problem in the season. When you only have 8 episodes and 2 episodes are problematic, that's 25% of your season, man.
Well, I agree that like 6 had its issues. Don't get me wrong. I didn't really like the Lizzo and Jack Black thing either.
Can someone be a Lizzo supporter? I feel like we're just shitting on Lizzo. Because I'm not going to be it. I'm not going to be it.
Fine, I'll do it. No. Lizzo's great.
Nose goes.
New man on the man, Minnesota Vikings.
I really like that song, 100% That Bitch. That was my favorite.
But no, I mean, I enjoyed the episode overall still. It had its issues. I still enjoyed it, mainly because I'm a Clone Wars buff. I really like the Republic and CIS and everything. So I like the callback to the prequel trilogy and the Clone Wars.
Just for those listeners that
I liked it.
Aren't like me and know what CIS is, you should explain it to them.
Before he explains that, has anyone ever called themselves a Clone Wars buff? like, Lord Buck approach.
Well, the CIS is Confederacy of Independent Systems. So the Separatists.
Battlefront, if you ever played Battlefront, you would know what that meant. Cool.
Yeah, it's the Separatists, basically. So, okay. So I mean, you had Doc, who was, you know, an all-time Separatist, you know, mentioning Count Dooku in there and everything. I mean, it was, yeah, it's fan service, and I enjoy the fan service part of it. I like seeing battle droids and everything like that.
I think it's more than fan service, honestly. I think it's part of the world building and the lore building. I think because it does, it shows us what's going on right now during the New Republic and what the people are going through, which is more than just a story. It adds to it.
Joel, I'm going to tell you something about Dylan right now. Fan service.
I'm a lore whore.
Yeah, fan service is his F word. You say that, he's going to get defensive. And he will
because Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan was absolute fan service, and they destroyed lore with it. That was garbage. Yes. That was 100% fan service. No.
I like
and that. You fell hook, line, and sinker for it, Jake, so don't even come at me.
It was the finale. We got to see his ghost at the end. You guys are like, he never
which is impossible. Impossible.
In what? In a made-up universe with space wizards? It's impossible?
Dude, yes, it's impossible when they said it's impossible.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, whatever, and they dude. Do not. They cannot.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah, over yourself. It's one of those things, I don't know, like, a hardcore fan like me, like you, Dylan, yeah, it probably isn't necessarily considered fan service,
Jake,
you know?
That's right, Jake, like, you're casual.
I can see where just somebody like Jake or something like that, it would be considered fan service, you know?
Yes.
That's really ultimately what I meant, but...
Okay, that's a fair point, Joel. Hey, lore whore, what do you think?
I thoroughly enjoyed this season. I do have some issues still.
I'm shocked.
I do have some issues, don't get me wrong. Especially, there's a few questions I have even from this last episode. Overall, I think this was the second best Mandalorian season.
Thoughts on that statement?
I think it's
second
the best. Yeah, I think it's
the best, personally.
Season 2 is number 1 for me, and then this one is number 2.
I guess I'm going to do the Cole method of the origin story, and I think season 1 was the best, but whatever.
Dude, we have Din Grogu now.
And honestly, yes, yeah, and the reason awesome. I think... The reason I think this is the best one is because we got to see so much of the world building of Mandalore. We get to finally see the conclusion of their story throughout Clone Wars, Rebels, and this. Like, we got to see all of what has been coming for, what, a decade or more now? Like, this was awesome. Like, this, and now with the ending and how they can kind of just go off and do their own thing, like, it's sweet. Like, this was a really good season.
And that's why I think that this season is the best season out of all the three so far. It's like we see a nice conclusion, but yet at the same time, it's really a new beginning for all the Mandalorians. Like, it was so cool seeing Mandalore at the end of this most recent episode.
And
seeing them come together, which is new, that was sick.
Yeah.
And maybe that was awesome. I loved how they all came together. Hey, guess what, guys? The armorer wasn't a spy. I don't know why they called it spies. There was only one that I know of.
Yeah,
I was fully, wrong.
Like, everyone's just theorizing. I think they titled it that.
I still think she's part of the Mandalorians, but I was wrong.
Like, I think the armorer is a spy. And I'm like, I think it's Axe Wolf. And like, spoiler alert, no spies.
No one.
Well, no one. To be clear, though, it doesn't mean that she's not part of the Mandalorians.
Stop. Maul is dead.
Oh.
No, Mandalorians are still very real. You know, it doesn't mean that she's not part of the Mandalorians, but
they became loyal to the Empire, so it wasn't a stretch by any stretch of the imagination that she could have been working with them.
Yes,
but if you're a Mandalorian, who's your leader when Maul got murdered in Rebels?
Nobody. That's not how the universe saw it. That's not at all how it worked. Sidious actually took the Darksaber and defeated him with it. And no one except for his brother Savage saw it, and then Savage died, so nobody knew. So as far as the galaxy is concerned, Maul is the true heir to Mandalore, which if you really want to get into, it's actually Luke, but no one knows that. No one knows that.
Guys, we're not going off the reservation, okay? Calm down.
But, We're but the Mandalorians actually rescued Maul from Palpatine.
Yes, and so they believe that he is still the Mandalore.
Okay, well,
time out. Was that stupid question time. Anywhere?
Yeah, I had a question too, but you go first.
Call yeah, I will go Maul. First. Thank you. Is
Maul? Okay, so anyways, what I was gonna say. Go on, Cole.
Is Maul supposed to still be alive right now?
No.
No, in this timeline, no. Okay. My theory was that Gideon was cloning Maul, but it ended up being that Gideon was cloning himself.
Could they? I know this would make you mad because of your horror lore thing that they will probably kill if they do it. But could they bring Maul back since they did leave that open ended at the end of Solo?
No, but Rebels.
No, so that's a different time period. So yeah, he technically does come back after that in Rebels because that is before Rebels.
Okay, just
what?
Yes.
Solo is set before Rebels.
Yes.
Yeah, so when he dies in Rebel, because I've seen that clip, I haven't seen all Rebel, but I saw that, Obi-Wan gets one final duel with him, and he finishes them off proper, which if you haven't seen that clip, I'm going to get to Rebels, I'm finishing Clone Wars right now. That scene with Obi-Wan and Darth Maul in the desert.
Beautiful.
Holy shit. Cole, look it up when you're done. When we're done with this podcast,
it is
absolutely beautiful.
It is poetry in motion. It is beautiful.
It is an absolutely great piece of art. And even if you don't want to watch Rebels, go watch that scene if you're a Star Wars fan. It is phenomenal. But what I'm saying is, bringing Darth Maul back would be stupid. Now, me and Dylan have talked about this. Bringing Starkiller into the mix would be perfect.
That would make key point. They keep pointing at him.
Yeah, I know. So
okay, so for all the dumb listeners out there that don't know who Starkiller is, unlike me, you should tell them.
Jalen Merrick. You should know who Starkiller is, because I played The Force Unleashed
around you a lot. Yeah, it's The Force Unleashed, Starkiller.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And he was awesome, and that was the first Star Wars game since, like, Battlefront 2 and 1 on PS2.
Vader's Apprentice.
Like, I beat that game in 2 days. I was obsessed with it.
I'm actually replaying it right now.
Of course you are, because you just committed to the craft. He's like, I need to know more. No, but these games, like, especially the first one, it was so fun. And Starkiller was a well-written character in those games. Mm-hmm. You absolutely can bring him into this show, or to a show. As long as you do him justice, there's a lot of stuff you can get into there that could be really cool.
Yeah, especially since his actor is still involved in Star Wars.
And still alive.
Yeah, dude, that's Maul. That's Maul.
Yeah, that's Maul and Rebels and Clone Wars.
Yeah, yeah. What? It's the same voice. Yeah, yeah, Maul and Rebels and him, it's the same guy. Yeah, it's, what's his name?
No, but the guy who actually voice acted, like, they did the Starkiller that was based in the video games was him, like.
No, Starkiller, we're saying Starkiller in the video games is the same voice as the guy that plays Maul in Clone Wars and Rebels.
Oh, yeah, yes. So he's a big Star Wars fan, and he's a like
Sam Witwer, that's his name. Sam Witwer.
Put Sam, he could be in live action. He looks good, like, not that I've checked him out online. He looks good enough to still be, like, of the right age. Like, put him in this show. He's, like, or put him in a show in Star Wars and do him justice.
Dude, that Kenobi scream is still glorious.
Kenobi! Yeah,
it's just as good when he does it live, too.
Cole kind of feels left out, because even though I'm just a casual, he's super casual.
Yeah, I'm
super apparently.
Yeah.
Okay, next casual question. What are we supposed to expect from Thrawn? Like, I've heard the name, I know very little.
I'll leave it to you guys on this one. I got nothing on this one.
Enlighten me about what's coming.
Okay, so who wants to take this? Me or you, Dylan?
You can go.
Go halves.
Okay. You guys can probably,
go. I've talked about him quite a bit so far. You can take it.
Probably finish each other's sentences. So,
sandwiches.
Just someone start, the other person finish.
Okay, so Thrawn is like, oh man, when it comes to Thrawn, he is absolutely very methodical, very smart. It's really hard to put into words just what's so deadly about him. But he, oh man, no, Dylan, you might have to take this because I don't know how to put it into words, honestly.
So he is so destructive that he will erase your culture. Like, not like, think of Nazi Germany, what they attempted to do to the Jews. He completed on multiple worlds.
I was not ready for that reference, but that's canceled. Cool.
I'm sorry, but that is basically. But
to the Jews.
minus the racism. He just does it to anyone and everyone. That's what he does. He literally, he learns your culture. He figures out how your how you work as a people. And he will literally, like you said, methodically, systematically take every single one and you watch it burn.
That sounds like Brainiac from Superman.
Maybe. I mean, that's not a bad comparison.
No, it's perfect, actually, because I was just thinking, like, that sounds like Brainiac the way you're... I don't know anything about like, Thrawn, so I...
Wait, so, okay, Dylan...
He describes himself very well.
Dylan, I do have one question that you actually might be able to answer. So, in the expanded universe, he was, like, somewhat Force-sensitive. Is he still that in the new canon?
What I never heard that. Like, I read the Heir to the Empire ones, and he wasn't really Force-sensitive then. That's why he had, what's his name? The gray-haired Jedi clone.
He had a connection with, like, those... What were they, cats or lizards or whatever that would...
What they did, they repelled the Force, but he didn't, like... He didn't control them.
No, he didn't control them, but he had enough of a connection to them through the Force. Well, that's what was implied, anyway.
I didn't think so, because he had to hire those people to show him how to go get them, because he wasn't able to.
Okay.
Reel it back in, guys. I can give you.
I don't think he is. That's why he brings the clone Jedis in. Yeah, that's to help get that sensitivity to the Force.
Okay. So, anyways, Mandalorian season 3. That's what we're talking about here, kind of.
Thrawn. He will f you up if you cross him. You know, and even if you don't cross him, I mean, he'll discover that you're helping somebody, and he'll just come find you and get you.
Just likes it.
Yeah.
So he's what's the word I'm looking for? Sadist? In a sense?
More like he has a god complex.
Yeah, but the crazy part is, too, that he's got this appreciation for the culture at the same time. It's so weird and crazy.
Like, I appreciate the culture so much, I will eradicate it forever.
Yeah, that sounds right. But then
keep it for only himself.
Yeah. He'll collect all these, like, big time artifacts and everything and keep it for himself and have so much appreciation for it. That's one of the things that makes him so dangerous.
Thrawn sounds like this dude that collects Pokemon cards, and when he finds out there's three other left, he'll just go burn the other one so he's the only one remaining.
The dude.
Yeah, kind
of. Is that weird?
He's the collector from Marvel. Basically, he's the collector from Marvel, but more evil and actually takes action himself.
Brainiac and Superman did the same stuff, except, like, took all the culture and then destroyed it. But he just wants to have all the culture.
Yeah, basically.
So
Brainiac meets the collector. Okay.
Brainiac meets the collector, meets a very angry person who loved collecting Pokemon cards.
Who was also a Nazi.
Definitely a Nazi, and he's Jews.
The crazy and scary
part about Thrawn is that he's not angry. It takes a lot to actually get him pissed off.
And he's got that, like, war games mindset, too, when he goes into things. He doesn't see his soldiers as people. They're just chess pieces he's moving around.
So he's nuts, what he does. Not quite to a Pong Krell way, but, a little bit.
So he's read Sun Tzu's The Art of War.
Pretty much.
That's what he's done. Maybe he wrote a sequel to it. The Art of Thrawn.
He probably wrote it.
Again, me and Cole, being casuals, Thrawn means nothing to me, but it's got you guys very excited, which, again, what me and Dylan have talked about in detail, like, this sounds like a really cool villain that we could bring on. But let's talk about Moff Gideon and his send-off. I was very, very happy with these last two episodes. A, bringing Moff Gideon back, but also giving a reason and kind of showing his plan that we saw in brief snippets in the last two seasons come to fruition, get destroyed. Like, it felt like this was all from season one. There was an overalling tie-in to all of this with Moff Gideon and his plan. He's like, I wanted to give my clone something I never had, the Force. And, like, then I'd be unstoppable. I thought there was a lot of cool moments in that last episode, but it was really cool to get, like, oh, so that's what Moff Gideon was doing this whole time. Like, they hinted at it but never showed it. This is what he was doing, which I thought was really cool.
And he's the biggest Maul fanboy there is.
Hey, man. Can you blame him?
No, not at all.
Don't act like for 1 second in The Phantom Menace when you were a kid and he and Darth Maul's like, dun, 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 dun. He's like, oh, one lightsaber. Dun, 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 dun. I was fully erect for the first time. I was 9 years old. I can't believe that happened. Like,
just like he was on his Instagram channel. Oh. Dude, no, Maul's one of my favorite characters. I was kind of hopeful with that theory, but I was definitely wrong.
It's good. And hey, I was wrong that Disney or this whole season didn't know what they were doing. They stuck the landing, and I'll give them credit on that. Like, well done.
Yeah, they definitely did. I like the, like, as far as the Dark Trooper aspect of it, too, like, do we know if that was the actual Moff Gideon yet?
No,
I've seen that theory, too.
Cole, have you seen that theory?
I actually haven't seen a theory. No. I'm just asking.
No, Star Wars.
Yeah, there's a theory that it's a
clone of Moff Gideon. Because he definitely got toasted.
It's because he didn't have his mustache. He didn't have his mustache, and none of his clones had his mustache, so people are thinking that was a clone.
Yeah, remember how you remember how the fanboys, like, or even Star Wars theory said, the armorer is the spy. Here's why. Well, you look pretty.
I know, and so that's why I don't know.
The main reason that I ask is because, I mean, I saw Star Wars Theory's recap of the episode. I haven't seen the theory yet, so I don't know anything about that. But the recap of it, and he points out, too, the whole hitting a couple buttons and all the clones just getting destroyed from that, that was one part that didn't quite do it for me in the episode.
He had to go through 4 laser shields, though.
So?
I mean...
That was actually my favorite part of the entire episode.
Video game through and through.
Dude, it was like leveling up every time. It was sick.
The only thing I thought about Cole is like, it kind of feels like a video game. Like, if you don't like this scene, Cole, I will slap you in the face. I don't care how far out.
This is awesome. No, that was an absolutely awesome theme. And actually, hark back to episode 1 as well. Yeah, exactly. That was really cool.
That scene with the fight scenes, as far as it goes, that's the best in Mandalorian. Like, that was awesome.
Dude, yep, all the fighting in this season was on point.
Especially
the dog fights, the hand-to-hand combat,
the ice cream fight on Coruscant in episode 3. Yeah, all the fights.
Ice cream fight. Yeah. Your ice cream's melting.
Where? I can't see it. Can you at least see some melting effect, you jackass? I think we all kind of agree here. Is there anything like... Dylan, I do want you to talk about what we were talking about, the Darksaber. I thought it was, I want to preface this. So the Darksaber gets crushed. I thought that was a really cool thing in how Mandalorians, the faction, have evolved to a point where, like, because, like, Moff Gideon says something like, oh, you guys are nothing without your trinkets, or something like that. And the Mandalorians, like, they had evolved to the point where the faction were like, I'm right. And the other person's like, no, I'm right. You're wrong. And, like, they all found a way to come together to retake their world. I thought was really cool. But Dylan made a good point about the Darksaber, one of his gripes with this last season finale.
How is that even possible that it's broken? That is the most pure Beskar ever made. Ever. How is that destroyed, even if it's in a suit of dark armor or dark trooper armor that has pressurized? That doesn't make any sense. If a lightsaber can't cut through it, how can he crush it?
Would this be like a thing where Elrond goes and reforges it, and then they bring it back to him later?
That's what I think. That's what they're doing with Grogu, because I still think this is Grogu's show.
Yeah, it really was apparent this season. He was very important.
Yep. Especially with him reaching down to the Mythosaur there.
Yeah, okay, I saw that.
And again, this is what I said. I'm like, Grogu feels like a side character. He did not. That scene with IG-12, where he's like, no, yes, yes. That is
that was amazing. Amazing.
That scene, I'm like, all right, Mandalorian, how can I stay mad at you?
I absolutely love like that when scene the door opens right up and he's all like, pissed off at the Praetorian guards. He goes, no.
That was old-time humor. It felt like Star Wars humor, how old-timey Star Wars. That scene was amazing.
Yeah, it wasn't Force humor. Great. It wasn't Marvel humor. It was Star Wars humor.
No, it felt like Star Wars humor, like old school Star Wars humor. It was perfect. And it felt like, as fathers, you'll find this out later, Joel, when they find out how to walk. Like, he's like, don't do that. I'm going to. Cole, did you feel that?
Teresa was watching with me, and Teresa was dying. It's just like a solid 5 minutes route. Yes, 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 yes.
Walking and then they're walking down the street. Dude, that's my favorite part.
He's like, he's not ready for it. And that scene was perfect. Like, the whole thing was amazing. Yes. And it was like, I can't stay mad at you, Mandalorian. Holy shit, this scene was like, it just brought me right back in, and they did not let up, and I was satisfied till the end. It was awesome.
The other part I absolutely loved about the Din Djarin Grogu dynamic in the season finale is that he wasn't protecting him. He told him that he needs to step up to the plate and needs to be brave. I absolutely love that aspect.
Yeah. What did I just talk to you about? That's it.
That was sick.
I gotta stop protecting. He's like, we have to stop him, and I need you to be brave. That scene was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a huge moment of growth. That was awesome.
Oh, yes. So cool. And like, Din Djarin actually adopting him, dude. I'm not gonna lie, I teared up a little bit when he's like, no, I will adopt him. Like, it was cool because if you look back to after I was done with the season finale, you look back to season one. He didn't want him. He felt he's like, oh, I guess I gotta do that. I have to give him back to the Jedi. Then he forms a bond with him in season two. Doesn't want to let him go. Takes off his mask. Betrays his code for him. And then they continue to do this. But it's, again, why didn't they focus this more? Because they just absolutely nailed the ending of it. Because you really feel like, yes, Cole. Because
he ages slow as hell.
Oh, I wasn't trying to interrupt you. I was saying I will go next. But
okay. No. Well, I was just saying, like the whole, like, where Din Djarin started in season one with Grogu to now, it was such an amazing ending for them and their story. And I told this to Dylan. If they're done after season three, I will feel satisfied. Like, if they don't make another season of Mandalorian, I will be absolutely satisfied with how they ended this. Absolutely. All right, Cole.
Okay, question. So is that typical that Mandalorians adopt the Foundlings, or is that like a special exception type thing?
To be honest with you,
I wouldn't say it's all the time, yeah.
To be honest with you on there, I'm not aware of any lore with that. I think that's mainly being created and implemented in this series now. But unless Dylan knows something, I don't know about that.
I mean, I know it happens because Django was adopted by the guy that took him in. But it's not like a requirement or something that happens all the time. It's just kind of like everyday life. People just pick and choose.
It did feel kind of quick.
So the person
trained
Din Djarin, took him around. They mentioned that he had somebody. They didn't say who it was. So that wouldn't have been his like adopted parent with anything. That just would have been like one of the bros for the Mandalorians.
No, I think he was a...
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that's his dad or anything, no.
No, Din Djarin, I don't believe anyway, was adopted or anything. He just had, like, he was a foundling, so he had a mentor.
Wait, time out, though. Let's go back a little bit. After he adopts him in front of the armorer, then she says, now you must take him on your adventures like your master did, or whatever.
Yeah.
That was after he adopted him, so... It kind of feels like there's a link there.
No, it's because he said that now he's a Mandalorian apprentice, and being a Mandalorian apprentice, he has to go on his adventures.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. You're wrong.
Yeah.
I almost want to go back to my episode six recap podcast and be like, Jake, just calm down. It's going to be okay. Like, there was a lot of great scenes, and when they got focused, they knew how to do it. And like, I'm really satisfied with the end of Mandalorian right now. Like,
I also have one more question. Ask you the question. Maybe Joel, you can answer this.
Okay. Well, I got this one.
So when Bo-Katan is when Bo-Katan is flying through, cutting down all those Imperial like fake Mandalorians or whatever. And there's one scene where she literally stabs one right through the chest. If that is supposed to be Beskar, how did she do that? Or is that? Or are they saying that that's like the old Imperial Beskar that's crappier?
See, I'm guessing it's not the Beskar alloy that Moff Gideon had on his suit. I'm guessing it's the crappy Imperial one, but I don't know for sure. Gotcha. On that, but
which again, your Durasteel.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too because it's definitely Beskar because it was actually repelling blasters left and
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so like, how did she do that?
I mean, just like we know with the Darksaber, well, at least what we thought with the Darksaber is it's supposed to be able to cut through Beskar and everything. And I'm guessing that the Beskar for the Stormtrooper or the
It didn't cut through the Beskar spear when Mando fought him.
Right, but that was a much higher grade of Beskar than that armor probably was. It was ready to cut through. Like, it was melting it.
Were you talking about,
yeah, no, it eventually
gauge?
Will, yeah.
Huh?
You're talking, like, 12-gauge Beskar? Or...
yeah, 12-gauge. Okay, Jake?
I think you guys are missing the most glaring plot hole in this entire thing. You guys recall in episode 5 when they chased the dragon with their jetpacks and they ran out of the fuel? How the hell did Axe Wolves end up in freaking space?
He didn't end up in space?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he did.
Hold on.
Yeah, he did. He went through that crappy atmosphere with it too, the one that's like crazy hard to get through.
Yeah.
Went all the way through.
So?
His name is Axe Wolf.
The stratosphere. Huh?
His name is Axe Wolf.
AXE.
No, see, like, I guess Axe when I think about that, like, you never know what kind of terrain they were going through. It wasn't a straight shot. No, hold on. It wasn't a straight shot that they were following that dragon. You don't know how long they followed that dragon for either. You know, and everything.
It's harder to get into outer space.
It wasn't outer space. It was in low orbit.
And guess what? Bad news, Joel, for all you non-astronomy fans. Low orbit is in outer space.
It wasn't even out of the full atmosphere.
Okay, whatever. Here's what I'm saying. They made a big deal about the fuel, and everyone crapped on The Last Jedi when they brought up fuel in Star Wars. They did an episode 5, like, we can't catch them. We go for like 15 seconds, and now there's like, they're fully fueled. Like, again, it doesn't break like the show for me, but it was like, how the hell is this?
Different plans, Jake. Different jetpacks.
Yeah, it could be that, too. I don't know.
These jetpacks seemed absolutely unlimited when they needed them to be, is what I'm saying.
I guess that one really doesn't bother me at all because I just don't know.
I didn't say it broke. It's just something I noticed.
No, I know, but that's something – because it did cross my mind before, too. But I guess, like, I just kind of chucked it up to, okay, they were probably chasing the dragon for a little bit longer, different terrain, not just straight line either.
No, they chased it multiple times, and apparently they never hit a gas station. Like, I guess we're just going to keep doing the same thing. like, we've tried this multiple times. And now they can just go as long as they want. Again, if you introduce fuel, you're introducing a plot hole. Like, the jetpacks would go on forever. Like, why? How come you never run out of ammo?
I mean, it really could just be the two separate cults or two separate clans, really. I mean, because you think about it, one's a broke cult living in a cave. The other one is our privateers going across, the entire galaxy, plundering and getting money wherever they can. One could be running on Star Wars nuclear, and the other one's running on gasoline.
One's running on premium, the other one's running on E85.
Yeah.
Never, for all you listeners out there, never run on E85.
I mean, don't get me wrong, that I do think that's kind of a weak explanation, but
you tried your best, man. I appreciate it. But it was something, the guy went into space, I'm like, all right, which apparently low orbit is not in space. I didn't know that was a thing, and found that out today.
I thought they were still in the upper atmosphere, but...
No, he was out of the stratosphere, dude.
There was no stars or nothing. There was blue sky above him still.
Okay, you need to rewatch that episode, because I think both Dylan and Cole are going to agree with me that you are wrong, sir.
Am I?
Yeah, he was in space.
Like, this is...
I don't think there was stars.
Because I'm pretty sure they're saying... Because I'm pretty sure that those aren't clouds. I think that is the atmosphere.
Yeah,
that,
it's a
like,
stormy. That's why they couldn't get a reading on it. It was just
stormy
atmosphere.
I mean, yeah, technically... Clouds, whatever, but it is, yeah, I think that's, like, the barrier around it is the atmosphere, so once you break out of that,
your space. I just thought there was blue or gray sky still above the ship when he's getting up there. I'm pretty sure.
I think it was just black. I think you're right about the stars.
I don't think this will make or break the show for most people.
No, it doesn't break the show, but it was just a funny like observance I had when the guy was like, "I need a hero," and just shoots up. And I'm like, "He's gonna get, like, how is he gonna get to the ship? He's gonna run out of fuel." Nope, he just kept on going. I was like, "Okay."
Okay, two questions. One, how many Praetorian guards are there? Like, is that like a whole breed of people? Or like how many? There's definitely three less now than there were. Also, is the Mandalorians that are like on Mandalore, like that whole new tribe, is that like a new thing or has that been like in previous lore?
No, like, we didn't know anyone was there.
Okay.
When Bo-Katan said that, did Bo-Katan, because we didn't know how Moff Gideon got the Darksaber, correct? In lore?
Yeah, we didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember Joe brought that up in our old podcast. We didn't know, and now we found out, which, again, thank you for telling us and giving us the reason. She tried to save her people,
mm-hmm.
and it makes sense that, like, these Mandalorians that were on the planet were not, no one else talked about them, because...
Didn't even know again, that they existed.
We didn't even know that Moff Gideon had the Darksaber, though. Until the end of season one.
How did Moff and them not ever run into each other? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that is something I thought of too. It's like, how did they not know that this whole base was being built under the ground? Like,
they were living in caves with plants.
I can see them not knowing necessarily because they kept saying, like, anyone who tries to go down dies. Like, they said that, so they're afraid to go down there. So that's explainable. But how did Moff never, like, go up and be like, hey, you guys are gone. I'm going to wipe you out.
Hey, think about it this way, Mandalore is a huge planet, and if someone builds a cave in Afghanistan, I'm not going to know about there. It.
Yeah, Star Wars, like, planets don't work like that.
Like, yeah. Real planets?
No, I don't.
This seems like a real enough planet. It has to be pretty decent.
Every time
big.
They go to Tatooine, they go to the same place. There's not another side of Tatooine that they go to.
Oh, because everyone knows that the rest of the habit, or less of the planet, is uninhabitable, okay? No one can live there.
Or like Navarro, it's like, oh yeah, I'm head of Navarro, and there's like a city.
Did you guys also find it weird on how they ended the entire season? Like when he just Din Djarin just had to speed up, and then they like zoom in like a Looney Tunes cartoon on Grogu.
Yeah, that dude, that was so out of place, but I did like it.
No, that's taking the old George Lucas, the closing of the twin sons.
But it kind of felt, again, like, I was enjoying it so much. I'm like, all right, do your thing, guys. Now, the question I do want to ask you guys
is how many Praetorian guards are there?
No one cares.
Is it like Mandalorians? Like, are they a whole breed of people, or is it like...
No.
No, they're basically like they're basically just like the Red Guards that the Emperor had.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, yeah. Are they just, like, trained people? Like, oh, you can, anybody
they're,
can be a Praetorian.
They're slightly Force-sensitive people that Palpatine took and trained.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but they're like, super sloppy in the Force, but they're stronger than any regular soldier.
Yeah, they're definitely not tuned in.
They're not, I mean, they took three, and Grogu just doing backflips on top of lights, and he was okay. Like, we're gonna get this guy. Like, no, you won't.
Yeah, I don't know how many there are, though. I'm not sure how many there are. I've never really seen that. It's kind of they created as they're needed type of thing.
There's definitely, like, a lot of them out there.
I should say,
just,
not created.
They're not, like, as many as stormtroopers or anything like that. They're highly specialized and only meant to protect, higher-up officers.
Oh, wait. Can we also talk about the Grogu I Am Groot moment? When the fireball engulfed him, he's like,
that was sweet.
It was a season one moment.
Again, I think Din and Bo are going to bang at some point. I'm calling it. I told this to Dylan. He's like, I'm not going to, like, when Din, like, swore his fealty to Bo, he's like, I will not leave your side until your song is sung.
Yeah, he's like, your song is not sung yet. Oh, we're going to sing it.
We're going to sing that song. It's going to go like, oh, God, oh, God.
I
and then the sound of those two metal helmets clanking together is going to...
No, but Bo's
just like they were. Yeah,
Bo's gonna get concussed because she can take her helmet off. Yeah, she can take it off. And Dean can't, so he's gonna get all hot and heavy. Just bam.
This is the way.
God, I do love Tom Dugan. I don't know how we got to Din and Bo, but here we are.
that's all you, Jake.
Because you guys didn't join in. Joel, do not make me just the only person talking about it, okay? You know what you did. You have a baby. You know how sex works, okay? I figured I didn't have to give you the birds and the bees again like I did when you were 12.
I'm all good.
He was a late bloomer. Anyway, you guys want to talk about any specifics of the last two episodes? You want to rate it? I say we rate the season as a whole. Or do you guys want to do the last two episodes, and then rate the season?
Just do the season as a whole, season, I think.
Okay, well, I said that. I don't know why. Yeah. Cole gave me, like, the stinkiest of stink eyes.
He gave that to you when you started saying, or do you want to rate the other two episodes and end the season? And then he gave you a big-ass stink eye.
Yep. I'll go first, just because. I'm going to say this season is an 8. This is the season I wanted. Couple detours that Jake has mentioned thoroughly, but it told a story. The narrative form changed. I'm learning about Mandalorians. Like you guys already know, I'm like learning a bunch of stuff, and then I get to talk to you to fill in the gaps. The Mythosaur, like I'm just waiting for Baby Grogu to ride the Mythosaur in the future. That's gonna happen.
Hell
like,
yeah,
that will be awesome.
Yeah, like I'm all on board again. This is my favorite.
Oh, man. I'm saying it.
Favorite season, favorite finale, like. To me, this is the best of The Mandalorian.
Did you rate season one? I wish we could go back. We should listen to our old podcast.
My old podcast, I was not happy with season one, I was frustrated. Season two was a little bit better. But just that, like, you could skip entire episodes and not actually have missed the storyline. This told way more of a story. Like, I was giving it, like, 6.5, 7s for the most part.
But I feel like the season you rated like 7, 7.5 in season 2.
Maybe because, again, I like Star Wars, so it's going to get like a nice bump for me just because of what it is. But to me, this was clearly like far and away better as far as what I'm looking for in a show.
That is a well thought out point. We should have let him talk more. He had a very nuanced perspective here.
Yeah, so then Thrawn comes selfish. And I know a lot about Thrawn. And
I know his middle name is George. Joel.
Thrawn, George Skywalker.
Wait, he's a Skywalker too now? Everyone, you can just call out now and be like, who are you? I'm Jake.
Jake who?
Jake James. Jake like LeBron. Can just call out names like, I guess we got to call him out of that. That's a weird, like, you have to accept my identity. We're not going to get into that, but like, I'm Rey Skywalker. Well, we got to call her that. what are we going to do? She said it.
All right, Jake, what do you rate it?
No, I said you first. I'm going last because I went first last time.
Sorry.
Yeah. You weren't here last time because you just had a kid, apparently, and whatever.
So, Dylan?
You're not in charge of this, Joel. I said you next. Stop messing with I will kick you off this podcast right now. This call. I will delete you.
All right. So, I'm going to go.
All right, Dylan, can you go?
I knew that was coming.
I can't ignore good comedy, man. When it's funny, it's funny.
All right, so I'm gonna go 8.75 on this one.
Two decimals? Just round it up.
No, I'm going 8.75. No, okay. The Dr. Pershing part was drawn out too long, so that takes
pointless.
Some... Yep, well, it wasn't pointless. It was drawn out way too long.
Oh, yeah? When did Dr. Pershing come back? Oh, wait, he didn't.
No, it was ending that whole storyline. It was showing that, hey, he had all the expertise to splice together all this DNA, and they just wiped that out. So they basically ended that storyline now. The possibility of that ever coming back is gone. Unless they introduce another character.
Okay, I didn't really think about that when they were doing the council. Okay, I'll give you that one, Joel.
So I mean, it wasn't a pointless storyline. It was just drug out way too long. So they had that. Then you had the Lizzo and Jack Black, which dragged it down a little bit, but that was a much better episode, in my opinion, just because, like I said earlier, the callbacks to certain things and expanding the universe and all that kind of stuff. So it had those moments, but overall, it was absolutely phenomenal. Like Cole said, I'm even learning a little bit about Mandalorians as we go on with all this and how the new lore is coming in. I enjoy that aspect of it. There's always something else that we can learn from all of it as well. Just really great. I really like the Siege of Mandalore feel of the last episode as well. In live action, Mandalore is freaking unbelievable.
Yeah, it looks like a really desolate planet with not a lot of... Yeah, okay. Yeah, it looks great.
No, seeing the forge burning and everything, and just seeing even that little bit of a taste is totally different in live action than you see it in like the Clone Wars or anything like that. It has a totally different feel to it and much bigger presence.
I think that's well thought out. Well done, Joel. I'm only season three into Clone Wars. I'm very interested. I might have to do a podcast on this Clone Wars with people that have seen it. Just to, like, after, because I saw Mandalorian first. Yeah, you two and Cole would get on it. But I'll be watching a couple episodes tonight. I'm going to be interested to see how I feel versus now I've seen the live action. I have not seen the animated version.
And Mandalore is great in, like, the base Clone Wars. Season 7 just fleshes it out so much more, even. So just know that, Jake. I'm going to let you know that right off the bat.
Well, thank you. Yep. I don't know what I would have done if you didn't tell me that. Probably would have been completely like, what is this? Where are we? Love you, buddy. Okay, Dylan, you're up.
So, Joel and I are basically on the same page exactly, almost.
Weird.
I did float between my score, and honestly, going forward, it still might change, but I think I'm sitting right there at about 8.8.
Thank you for rounding up.
Well, and honestly, I floated between 8.8 and 9.1, and I had a hard time deciding somewhere in there. But to me, like you said, the conclusion of the Mandalore story, and they finally retook their planet, and they're finally working together as a one people rather than fighting all the time. Now we can actually see who they are as people more. It was sweet. It was awesome. It really brought all the Clone Wars stuff together, even some of the Rebels stuff together. And then the Maul fanboy stuff was pretty sick too. I thought that was really fun. Yeah, overall, loved it. Like I said, second best season to the second season.
Okay. Well, I thought I was like going high, and I see here I am. I'm low man on the totem pole. Thought 8 would like get me at least in the top 2.
Well, I guess that's all we have. We don't have to talk about how I was wrong.
I mean, that was understood. We knew that was coming.
I tried telling you all year, man. Just wait. It's building. Just wait. This isn't filler. Just wait.
You were right, but you were also wrong, Dylan, because all your theories.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't call it exactly right.
Straight into the toilet. So
100%.
You were 100%. Right, but you were 100% wrong too at the same time.
I got there just not the correct way.
Yes. You had the destination, but you decided to use Google Maps instead of Apple Maps, and because you have a Android.
Yeah.
You screwed yourself. I get it.
And you know, instead of going directly to California across the country, I went all the way across the ocean and back around.
Well, Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue by accident. America. So, you know, stuff happens when you go the wrong way sometimes. So after episode 6, when we did our podcast, Joel, I don't know if you listened to it, I was not a happy man. This season felt like it kind of lost its way. And now, granted, I only had 6 episodes. 2 of them felt completely out of note. Like, they did not feel well. Story in episode 1 and 2, and then like 3 is like, hey, we're gonna skip that for a little bit. And then we came back, and like 4 and 5 felt like they were building back up, and then 6 came along and again like cut it off, and I'm like, I don't believe they're gonna stick the landing. I am happy to admit I was 100% that bitch. No offense to Lizzo. And I was wrong. These last two episodes made me rethink the season in a very more positive light. There are 3 and 6 I still have issues with, but will I want to go back and watch this season? Yes. And I'm going to. The fact that, like, Din and Baby Grogu get to a point where he adopts him, and, like, you go from season one where he didn't want him. I've already talked about this a few times, but, like, their story arc gets a great conclusion. Moff Gideon, all the stuff they hinted at, they showed. We had some great battle scenes. The laser grid with R4. Their jetpacks have unlimited fuel if you're on a different faction, but that's okay. I really did really love these last two episodes, and it shows what the Mandalorian seasons can be. But I can't go as I cannot go as high as you guys did, but I will give this season an 8. I would, after episode 6, I thought I'd be giving this a 5. The fact that it got all the way up to me to an 8 is nothing short of impressive. There are great things in this. I absolutely recommend it if you like the first two seasons. Do not let episode 3 and 6 lead you astray, as I was. This is absolutely worth it to see to the finish. It is worth it. And I do have one more question, since we've given our ratings. Would you guys be okay if they ended the season, or, like, all season of Mandalorian right here? Like, I'm okay with the fact that we never get another one. I'm not going to be mad if they make another one, but I think the way they ended it was a happy ending. Din is now officially Grogu's father. He's going to go on more bounty hunting missions that Cole hates to see. So we don't have to go there. Like, I would actually be okay if they just ended it right here.
I would be okay with it. Like, I'd be sad that I don't get to see what Mandalore becomes, kind of thing, if they didn't go off and do another show like that. But, yeah, I'd be satisfied with the Mandalorian ending here.
What are you called?
Yeah, it's kind of like somebody gives you this delicious steak, and you're like, wow, that was good, and you see all that meat that's still on the bone, and you're like, I really want to gnaw that off. So, like, am I happy with what I got? Yes, but I really want to chew on that bone a little more.
That's perfect. Yes. Actually,
it's a weird comparison, because you can just chew on the bone.
Perfect.
That's really good. What about you, Don?
No, that's perfect. A perfect analogy. No,
with a better one.
I still believe that Grogu is the Mandalorian, so you can't end it now. We have to continue his story, at least we see him in adult.
Well, no, but I'm not saying they can't continue, because they set it up where they can do more. I'm saying, if they never made another season of Mandalorian, would you be upset with how it ended?
Because I want to see more. I want to see more of Grogu, and I believe Grogu is the Mandalorian.
I thought it was Din Djarin. Isn't that why they called this the Mandalorian? Old Mando?
Nope, they specifically said this year that Din Djarin is no longer the Mandalorian. That has changed, and it is up in the air for interpretation at this point. With what we have seen with Grogu, I believe that Grogu is the Mandalorian.
God, I love how, like, people can put theories out there and make you two puppets dance.
That's not a theory. No, I've been saying to you for like 3 years, I think he's the Mandalorian, dude. Since he was able to use the Force, I said that.
I mean, I have heard that a lot of times from Dylan, and I have not hung around him as much as you have.
You heard it from Dylan. Which is a pretty legit source.
But no, that is something that Cole, even John Favreau has said. is something that John Favreau has said, and, like, a lot of people... When he said that, a lot of people did get upset because they thought it was mentioning Bo-Katan then. And yep. So, like, everybody was all pissed off that, oh, well, Bo-Katan is just, like, hijacking the show now. Yeah, well, no, I love Bo-Katan's character. I didn't have any issue with her part in this season at all.
None. She was great.
I thought it was a great character arc for her, kind of showing her way. And I love Din and Bo. Like, even though I have my problems with episode 6, and they're like, but their chemistry is that, like, buddy cop thing was fantastic. And you really did feel when he said, I'm not going to leave your side until your song is sung. Like, that felt earned, and it felt awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, but again, I'm hoping for more.
more bounty hunting episodes. Let's go, guys. I'm excited. But if they decide to end it here, I wouldn't be mad. I think we have a very – from season one to season three, I think we got a very satisfactory conclusion to it all. But we'll see what happens. Apparently, season four has already been announced. So.
And John Favreau
has already been written.
Yeah, they already said that there's no plan to stop it right now. So,
but has their song been sung yet?
No.
And we're not even halfway through.
And we will see it.
And we will see. And if we don't have anything else, that would be Bruiser Review signing off.